Brothers and sisters, please open your Bibles in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. And we are going to read from verses 22 through 27. Numbers 6, 22 through 27. So I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, if you notice any difference in translation. Thus says the word of our God, so let us read and pay attention with fear. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Brothers and sisters, thus far the reading of our God's word, let us seek him once more in prayer. Father, as we approach the preaching of your word, we ask you that you help us to listen, to understand, that you help us to treasure all those truths in our heart and help us to obey. Father, show us Jesus Christ this evening. Point us to Jesus. Edify us this evening. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, after every worship service, maybe you already automatically get up and prepare to receive God's benediction, don't you? And maybe you have done it so often, you were raised in a Christian home, and you come to church every Sunday that you don't even think about it, what the benediction means. Maybe you already even know the words by heart, and you even repeat these words that we just read with the pastor in your head. However, because you don't ask these questions, you are in danger of making these words voidless and to live your lives without realizing how many truths God wants you to learn from this essential act of worship. Maybe some of you may think that those are simply wishful words or even a prayer that Pastor Justin, by the end of every worship service, he prays. However, brothers and sisters, these words are much, much more than that. They are means of grace whereby God is making a promise to you. And you need to receive it by faith and use it as a powerful tool throughout your week. Have you ever thought about that? So today from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, we are going to learn that God promises to bless his people by putting his name upon them. God promises to bless his people by putting his name upon them. And we're going to see these under two headings. First, the nature and the source of the promise. In other words, what is the promise made by God to us? And second, from whom the promise comes from? In verses 22, 23, and 27. And second, the content of the promises. The promise. What does God promise to us here in verses 24 through 26? Let us see together the nature and the source of the promise. Brothers and sisters, if I could summarize the book of Numbers to you, I would say that it is a book that begins and ends with Moses numbering the people, thus the name. In other words, the name of the book was given because God commands Moses to make a census among the people of Israel to know in the beginning and the end of the book, to know how many Israelites were living in the camp. They were getting ready and preparing themselves to march through the desert toward the promised land of Canaan that God promised in Genesis to Abraham to give to his descendants. If you remember Genesis chapter 12, God promised to give to Abraham's descendants a good and gracious land flowing with milk and honey, where all their physical and spiritual needs would be met, and they would have peace from their enemies and peace to worship their God. So they were brought out of the land of Egypt in the book of Exodus and delivered from the bond of slavery. And now God is preparing his people to the challenges, to the perils, and to the wars to come. And in the center of the camp, there was a tabernacle. And as you know, the tabernacle was the place that God chose to dwell among his people in the Old Testament, before the temple. And there was this group of people that God set aside to camp around the tabernacle, to be intercessors between God and his people, and his people and God, especially in matters of worship. They were called the Levites and the priests. And God chose Aaron and his sons to be priests and Levites before the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is the context to our text this evening. So let us read together verses 22 and 23. Please pay attention. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them." So by the end of their worship, both the morning and the evening worship, they had both in the Old Testament. Aaron or his sons received this important task from God to declare to Israel God's blessings upon them. And there are, from those two verses, those literal two verses, there are already three things that I would like to point out to you this evening. First, the benediction was a promise. Was a promise given by God to his people to encourage them as they were going out to fight their enemies in the desert in their way to the promised land. It was a promise to encourage his people. So God wanted them to have faith and to know and to be remembered that he was powerful enough to fulfill all his promises, and that he would be with them throughout their pilgrimage. They would face enemies from every side, threats from their foes in every step of the way. And they would become afraid. And they would eventually lose hope along the way, couldn't they? So God, knowing their hearts, reassures them after every worship service that he is Jehovah, as we sung earlier. He is Jehovah, the covenant keeper God, the one who always fulfill his promises. And he would fulfill all the promises that he made to the patriarchs. But we also learn a second thing. We learn that the priests and the Levites in the Old Testament, they were mediators, so to speak, between God and the people and between the people and God. Of course, their office, if you read the book of Hebrews, their office was temporary and it pointed to Jesus Christ. It was a shadow pointing to the substance that is Jesus. Jesus Christ is our only mediator and our high priest. Well, but the priest and the Levites, they were temporarily mediators, so to speak, in the Old Testament. They mediated the relationship between the people with God by making, for example, their sacrifices, going to the holy place every day, going to the Holy of Holies once a year. They would pray for the people. They would sing songs and play instruments in the congregation. So they were representatives of the people before God, but they were also representatives of God before the people. When you think about the preachers of the Old Testament, usually what comes to your mind are the prophets. But day by day, the preachers were the priests and the Levites. They were responsible to preach the word of God, and they were responsible to pronounce the blessings that we have before us from Numbers chapter 6. So the blessing is not only a promise. The priests and the Levites, they were the only ones that could pronounce the blessings. But we also learn a third thing from these verses. We learn that Jehovah himself is the source of all blessings. And the text makes it clear, brothers and sisters, in verse 20, in all the verses that we read this evening. Moses repeat the name of the Lord three times. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. The Lord, it is the Lord. And this repetition is intentional in Hebrew. It conveys, it gives us the idea of emphasis. And if you had any doubt that God is the source of all blessings in our lives, it's just go to verse 27. In verse 27, we read, "So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." And brothers and sisters, I think the ESV has the best translation for this verse because it reads, "So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I myself will bless them." I myself. So after each worship service, the priests and the Levites, they would pronounce God's blessings. And by doing so, they would put God's name upon Israel. And God himself would bless the Israelites, his people. And to put God, the Lord's name upon them meant, on one hand, to declare God's ownership over his people. It is his people. He has authority over them. And on the other hand, to put God's name upon his people also meant to declare God's special and covenantal relationship with his people. God is the God of his people, and his people is the people of God. So, and he promised to dwell among them and to allow them to live in his presence. So, the question that you should be asking yourselves this evening is, how those truths, although beautiful, how are they significant to me if I don't live in the Old Testament Israel anymore? Brothers and sisters, it is very significant to you. Let me show you why. As the people of Israel, as I mentioned before, they were freed from the bond of slavery in Egypt. They were getting ready to march into battles, into their exodus toward the promised land in the desert for 40 years. And as they were freed from slavery, we were also freed from slavery. We were freed from the domain of darkness, and we were transported to the kingdom of the light of Jesus Christ. We were called to be soldiers of Christ's kingdom and to fight the good fight of faith. We are pilgrims, as they were, on the earth, living Exodus. We are walking toward the promised land, the New Jerusalem, aren't we? Therefore, brothers and sisters, as it was essential to the Israelites to receive God's blessings by the end of their worship service, before they would get up and go into battles, to the battles, then it's just vital to us, as God's people living in New Jersey, to receive God's blessing upon us by the end of our worship service, so that as the army of Jesus Christ, we can be confident in God's, on God's promises and march to live our weekly lives trusting that He's going to fulfill His promises to us. Moreover, although we no longer have priests and Levites as they had in the Old Testament, we can come to the Father directly through the Son by the Spirit. Yet the Bible teaches us that the same duties of these priests and these Levites, they have fallen upon the ministers of the Word and sacraments. In other words, pastors. In other words, it has fallen upon your pastor. So, we see the apostles, for example, in the New Testament, they writing by the end of some of their letters, blessings. And it shows us that the blessings, they are still relevant for us today. And only the pastor can pronounce it. But why? Ask yourselves, why does God want His ministers to continue to pronounce His blessings to His people today? Because the Lord knows your weakness. The Lord knows you better than you do. And that is why Aaron and his sons, by the end of every worship service, they needed to repeat these blessings to the Israelites. Because the Lord knows how easily we forget things. That is why week after week, we conclude our worship service with God's benediction. And as He reminds us of His blessings toward us in Jesus Christ. And that is why, while Pastor Justin is recovering from sickness, we are not administering the benediction this evening, once I'm not yet a pastor, but only praying, bringing to our minds and hearts all the riches and all the riches of the promises of God to us. Finally, brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, God promised to put His name upon His people and to bless them. And all those promises, they were fulfilled ultimately in our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we talk about God putting His name upon us, upon the Christian, what does that bring to your mind? Have you ever had God's name put on you? Yes, you did. You did in your baptism. When the ordained minister of the gospel, he baptized you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And God's name was put on you with the water that symbolizes that you belong to God. You are part of His covenant family. You are one of the sons of Israel. And it should encourage us in our pilgrimage, shouldn't it? However, even our baptism points us to Jesus Christ. points us to the promise that we are pilgrims here on earth, waiting for the day that we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ in the promised land. Brothers and sisters, that is the nature and the source of the promise. But Moses also, God through Moses, he gives us the content of the promise in verses 24 through 26. Then Aaron and his sons should say to the people, please look at verses 24 and 26 with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Let us now take some time to learn the content of God's promises toward us, toward his people. First, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. And the first thing God promises to Israel in their exodus to the promised land is to bless them. And you already know that the word blessing in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, is a broad term. It means so many things. It means God blessed the people in the Old Testament with children, with prosperity, with land, with good health, with his presence. In other words, brothers and sisters, God is promising Israel here that to provide for their needs. During the difficult times that they would have had for 40 years, God is promising them that he would provide for them. He would protect them. And especially here in our passage, he promises to keep them. They would go to dangerous places. If you read the Pentateuch, you will see. They would face powerful enemies. They would be tempted by Satan. And even fall into sin and rebel against God, if you look at Numbers chapter 14. But God would keep his promises. And although he punished them, the people, for their sins, he kept them through their pilgrimage in the desert for 40 years, providing each day their daily bread, protecting them by day and by night, until they conquered the promised land. And if you read the story of Israel, and you know a little bit about God's people, you will know that after left in Egypt, they had no military knowledge. And God provided for them food, protection, victories in battles, and so on. And because of God's blessing, and because God was keeping them, they survived for 40 years in the desert. And as God promised to bless and to keep Israel in the Old Testament, he also promises to bless and to keep you, Christian, today. Paul says that in Christ we are made sons and daughters of Abraham, and so we are the Israel of God today. As we are walking toward our New Jerusalem, we are also facing many dangers, many enemies, Satan's temptations, difficulties. And we know that we cannot keep ourselves, don't we? We cannot keep ourselves. Thus, by the end of each worship, God reminds you that he's going to bless you and to keep you during your week. Despite the hardships ahead, he promises that he will provide for you your daily bread. He promises that he called you to begin your walk, your pilgrimage here in the desert of our lives. And he will bring you safely and secure to the promised land. But then Moses continues with the blessing and says, The Lord, in verse 25, the Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And brothers and sisters, the shiny, smiling face is a picture, is a metaphor of God's presence, of God's love and favor toward his people. When God smiles on his people, they can be sure that God will be gracious to them. That is, he will deliver them from their troubles. However, it has a strong connection. This term, the smiling face, has a strong connection with prayer. With prayer. And it means that God will answer the prayers and save his people from their enemies, from sickness, and especially from their sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, God promised Israel his presence. And to show them his love and mercy and his favor, especially when they prayed to him on their way to the promised land. And if you read the rest of the book of Numbers and the other books of the Pentateuch, you will see how God kept his promises. How God was gracious and merciful. How God was slow to anger. God was with Israel throughout the 40 years in the desert until the conquering of the promised land. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, the Bible says, in the New Testament says, that we already live in the presence of God corandeo. We live in the presence of God in Jesus Christ. And so his face shines on us, doesn't it? He showed us his grace not only by saving us from the domain of darkness, but also by reconciling himself to us in Jesus Christ. And in Christ, he gives us graciously all the spiritual blessings that we need. He gave our justification, our sanctification, our adoption, our glorification. So in this benediction, brothers and sisters, God is saying to you that he will make his face shine on you as you walk with Jesus Christ. And he will be gracious to you by giving you all the spiritual blessings that you need during your week. And even when you sin this week, he promised to be gracious to you. So go to him. If you sin, go to him. If you are being tempted, go to him in prayer. As he's faithful and just to forgive you of all our sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But then the text continues in verse 26 and says, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And to lift up God's countenance means to pay attention. And in the Old Testament, when the Old Testament says that God would pay attention to his people, it meant usually that God would work in them holiness, and God would pay attention by giving them prosperity. Of course, Jehovah is not promising them an easy journey, as some of the health, wealth, prosperity gospel preachers, they would like to emphasize. They faced so many difficulties and hardships in those 40 years. Just read the Pentateuch. One entire generation died and could not enter into the promised land because they sinned against God, they rebelled against God. But God fulfilled his promise by letting the second generation under Joshua to enter the promised land. So prosperity in the Bible does not mean that the Israelites would have no difficulties in their pilgrimage. Prosperity means that God gives us blessings, long life, and prosperity to the degree of his glory and the advancement of his kingdom to fulfill his purposes in our lives. So he lifted up his countenance upon Israel to fulfill his purposes in their lives. But it also meant that God was, throughout the way, also working holiness within his people so that they can have, as the text says, peace, shalom. Have peace to have a personal relationship with God and to live in his presence every day on the way. And brothers and sisters, in Christ, God promises also to lift up his countenance upon you, to work holiness in you, and to make you prosper materially and spiritually for his glory, for the advancement of his kingdom, and for your own good. Therefore, for instance, by making sometimes some of us prosper, God allows us to offer and give more to the advancement of the church, to help one another's needs. In Christ, he also gives you peace so that you can have a relationship with the Father by the Spirit every day of your life. Now, there are two things that we must emphasize from these verses that we just read. First, the benediction. As all the other acts of worship, singing, preaching of the word, call to worship, prayer, the sacraments, the fellowship of the saints, the benediction is a means of grace. Therefore, as a means of grace, the benediction should be received by faith. In other words, you must believe it. You must believe that in Jesus Christ, God's promises to his people here in Numbers chapter 6 are also for you today. You must understand that these promises belong to Jesus Christ, and in Christ, you are also recipients of all those promises. You are sons and daughters of our Abraham. You are the Israel of God. So, when Pastor Justin gives the benediction, pay attention with reverence, because it is God's word for you. It is God's promises for you to go out of the church building and leave your wick and receive it by faith. Trust in those promises. Rest upon those promises made to you by the covenant keeper God, Jehovah himself. He is the source of all blessings. Second, how should you use the Aaronic blessings, the words of the blessings here in your life? How should you use those words as tools in your life? Well, brothers and sisters, you should use it as the psalmist. The psalmists often used these words of God's benedictions in their prayers. Actually, those words are the most quoted words in the Psalms. So whenever the psalmists, they were in trouble, material trouble or spiritual trouble, they prayed confidently in God's promises here in Numbers chapter 6, 22 through 27. Thus, for example, brothers and sisters, in Psalm 67, the psalmist says, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. God bless us. Bless us. That all the ends of the earth may fear Him. The psalmist wanted that the world would proclaim that God is the only God living. So he was praying. He used the words of the blessing in his prayers. Also, for example, in Psalm 31, verses 5, 9, and 16, brothers and sisters, the psalmist was in trouble. If you read Psalm 31, you will see the psalmist was in trouble. His heart was in trouble. And he prays, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also." You see that he was troubled. "Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness." He uses the words of the blessings to pray to God. Then in Psalm 83, verses 3, 7, and 19, the psalmist, he's asking for a revival. He's looking to the church. He's seen so many bad things. So he's asking God for a revival among his people. And the psalmist prays, "Oh God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved." And he repeats this verse over and over again in verse 7 and 19. Brothers and sisters, these are just a few examples to show you how the psalmist used these blessings, this promise in their prayers. And the truth is, there are so many books written about prayers. And the truth is, you should know God's promises to you in the Bible. And you should turn God's promises in prayers. In prayers. The benedictions, the promises of God, is basically God promising you, promising His people, saying, "This is what I'm going to do to you and for you." So he wants us to use the arguments that he gives to us in those promises, in the benediction, to enforce our prayers. Because we know that we have a faithful God. We know that we have a promise keeper God. A God that does not change, so that we can use those words to pray. The Bible teaches us that we need to learn to plead with God. Have you ever thought about that? To plead with God, and to plead with God is to know God, to know God's names, to know God's titles, attributes, character, works, and also His promises. And the words of the benedictions, they are not prayers, they are promises. But they are to be turned into prayers as the week goes on, having faith that God that made the promises is able to fulfill those promises. You see, brothers and sisters, when you are going through your week and you are going through a difficult situation, for instance, you are fighting against temptation, God gives you the words to pray. Because He promises you that He will make, first of all, He will bless you and keep you from falling. And then He promises you that He will make His face shine on you, and He will have grace and mercy on you. You can go to your God in prayer and ask Him, knowing that He promised to keep you so that you will not fall. And even if you sin, you can go to God in prayer, knowing that He promises that He will be gracious to you. use the words of the blessings in your prayers. It will enrich your prayers so much. And as we mentioned in the beginning, the benediction is part of our worship service, and it's often misunderstood. The blessings here, they are promises from God to you. So it is He Himself who blesses you. It's not the pastor during the week. From your baptism, God put His name upon you, and He will bless you. Thus you must receive those words with faith, longing for the day that you will see Christ's face and receive His name as a sign of His eternal ownership and authority over you in the promised land. The words of the blessings are so rich, as you should do, and you should do as the psalmist, as we saw, meditate upon it often, and then use those promises in your prayers when you are facing difficulties, when you are facing temptation, or any kind of trouble. The Aaronic blessing, brothers and sisters, is not a superstitious tradition of the church. And we see so many traditions in some churches that they do, but they do not do, they even don't know why they do it. It contains the living and true promise from our living true God to you. So use it. Let us go before our Father in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you because you are a faithful God. We thank you, Father, that you know us better than we do. We thank you, Father, that you promised to bless us and to keep us. You promised to make your face shine on us. You promise to be gracious and merciful toward us. You promised that you would give us peace. And we have all those things in Jesus Christ. And we thank you. Father, help us. Help us that throughout our week, may we would meditate on those words. May we would meditate on the promises that you are making to your people from the old. May we know those promises. May we trust in your, we believe in those promises. And we trust that you are with us as you were with Israel. Father, we praise your name. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.